to God's unchanging hand. Amen. Now we've sang the song. We've heard the words. Wisdom says, obey the words. Hold to God's unchanging hand. It is He who has watched over us. It is He who has blessed us to make the decision to come together today, this morning, and worship Him in spirit and in truth. He will have you to do the same a little bit later today, right around 6 o'clock. Dare you to do it again. Praise the Lord. We're delighted to see those of you who are visiting with us. We thank you for coming to be with us. We trust that this will not be your last visit with us. We thank you for the encouragement. And prayerfully, we are an encouragement also to you. We have some people in town, we know, because God has seen fit in His all-wise providence to call out of time into eternity one of His faithful, committed, dedicated children. So whatever tears are shed in that regard, those tears will be shed for you. They won't be God's tears. He's glad to have His faithful child to come home. Matter of fact, did you bring your Bibles? Did you bring your Bibles? Turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Chapter 1. Now we're going to study the Bible together. And wisdom says, hear, believe, receive, and obey what thus saith the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 1. I just shared with you momentarily ago that a faithful servant of His, He has called out of time into eternity. You realize that we are eternal beings. You understand that. We're going to live somewhere forever, but there are only two addresses, and you can't live in both places in eternity. But notice what it says, what the Bible says. By the power of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul being guided to write this. Starting with verse 1, because we're not in a hurry. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Did you hear that? By the will of God. What's the will of God for you? Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father, and from His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Watch this now. Stay close. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who of our Lord Jesus Christ? Who hath blessed us with what? All spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ. All spiritual blessings in Christ. According, I wanted to read that, but I was headed to this verse. According as He hath chosen us in His Son, your Bible says in Him, when? Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. God knows everything. Everything that was, everything that is, and everything that will be, God already knows it. He knows who's in this assembly this morning. Who's going to stay awake long enough to hear the message? Who's going to hear it, believe it, receive it, and who's just going to hear it and just brush it off and keep marching doggedly on in the pathway that they have chosen? But notice when God knew and chose those who he knew would be born, whenever you were born, whether you would obey him or not obey him. And even knowing that, knowing those who would not obey him, he let you be born anyway. Is that not a loving God? Verse 4 again. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Make sure you have a Bible and you read and study your Bible for yourself. Because the preacher is not going to stand before God for you. You are going to stand for yourself. The preacher is going to stand for himself. So check behind all preachers, including this one, to make sure that you're getting what thus saith the word of God. If you can read it, believe it, receive it, and obey it. If you can't read it, don't believe it, don't receive it, and do not obey it. Faith makes the difference. Faith makes the difference. And if you want a verse, read Hebrews chapter 11. And also 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. But now, let's see, I dog-eared something here. One day is one day with us. But 1,000 years is just like one day to God. Turning your Bible to the book of Revelation. Revelation, I believe. Chapter 20. As you read there, Hebrews 9:27. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is once appointed unto man to die. And after this, the judgment. Since you don't know, in most cases, when you're going to die, wisdom says, obey God now, while you still have a reasonable portion of your mind. I asked you to come to Revelation, did I? Chapter 20. I think that's what I said. Commencing with verse 10. Did you know that the devil once was a faithful angel of God? But he wanted to be in charge of heaven and earth. God put an end to that. And I want you to see what will be in Revelation chapter 20. We make our own decision as to whether or not we want to be faithful children of God, whether or not we want to be children of God, but not faithful, or I don't want to be a child of God. I want to do everything my way. There's going to be an end time. Read Revelation chapter 12. We won't do that. But you can do that on your own. And then chapter 20. Chapter 21. But time forbids that we should read all those. I ask you to come to chapter 20. Beginning with verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. So you see, the devil is shrewd. Did you know that he was once in heaven and started a ruckus in heaven? But he lost the ruckus. But he was able to persuade other angels to side with him. And they got thrown out of heaven also. He's an evil, evil creature. And the devil that, verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Brimstone makes a hot fire hotter. Where the beast and the false prophets are and shall be, are you with me? Tormented when? All the time. How long? Forever. Forever. You don't want to be among that number. Pain. Extreme pain. Forever. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them to hide. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. So now if they're standing before God, they are no longer what? Look, you don't go to sleep yet. Just getting started. I saw a great white throne, him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them to hide. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books, that's plural, were open. And another book. You know what the book is, right? You're reading it, or we're reading it. But the books, God keeps a record on each and every creature that he has ever created. Books. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. So God is going to judge us by everything that's in our book. Books in our diary. And he writes the diary and keeps the diary. Written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell were delivered up. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to their works. What is that saying to each of us? No matter who we are, no matter who we think we are going to be judged. You might tell folk, don't bother me, I don't want to be bothered. There's coming a day when we're going to be judged. If we're living according to the will of God, we won't mind that. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire, and that's forever. Now, whether you sleep or stay awake, that's what the Bible says the future is for human beings. And he goes on to talk about a new heaven and a new earth that God has for those who live faithful and righteous. Faith makes the difference. Faith enables the believing soul to treat the future as present, and the invisible as seen, bringing the future into the present. Hebrews 11 and 2 Peter chapter 1, read the entire chapter. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence or the proof of things not seen. God gave witness to the righteous. Faith in God is the inward conviction of God, from God, that what he has promised, he's going to do. What he has promised, he will perform. God keeps his word. True Bible faith is confident obedience to God's word in spite of circumstances, in spite of situations, in spite of consequences, this faith operates quite simply. God speaks it, we hear it, and we obey it. We trust God's word and act upon the same. Let us not argue, complain about what thus saith the word of God. Hear it, believe it, receive it, and obey it. Faith enables us to see what others have difficulty seeing. And as a result of us accepting the word, faith enables us to do the will of God. People laughed at these apostles, at the first century Christians. Great men, great women stepped out on faith when they heard the word of God. Hebrews 11, the entire chapter, is all about many who stepped out and trusted God, endured the difficulties, endured the pain, endured the torture. But God was with them and enabled them to succeed. Satan thought he had won a victory when he killed Jesus Christ. That was his biggest mistake, to kill the Son of God. Hebrews chapter 11 is devoted to a summary of the lives and the labors of great men and women. In each instance, at each and every instance, you will find the same elements: faith. God spoke to them through his word. They obeyed God. Now, since we have these people as our example, and God spoke to them, and God fed them, took care of them, even in death, he took care of them. For the righteous, that reminds me of what's going on here. For the righteous, our dear sister who is God's daughter, called home this past week. I thought of her when I said that. Listen, God takes care of us. He calls us out of the body. He puts life in the body. He takes life out of the body. The body can't exist without life. And there goes another sermon. Now, I'm not going to preach that one. You say, hallelujah. No, you know it. But know this. And I'm going to say it again. You say, well, you keep saying that. Yes, we're going to live forever. If we're not going to live, why is there going to be a judgment? If we're not going to live forever, why is there going to be a heaven? If we're not going to live forever, why is there going to be a hell? We're going to live forever, but we must, and if we want to live with God forever, we must obey what he has instructed us to obey. Well, they preach some of the word. No, that won't work. Hebrews 11, as I said heretofore, it is devoted to a summary of the lives and the labors of great men and women of faith in the Old Testament. And then we come to chapter 12, the New Testament. And in each instance, you will find the same thing: great faith in God. God spoke, they believe, they obeyed. That should be our attitude. God speaks, we read it, believe it, receive it, and obey it. No arguments. If you can't read it, why in the name of high heaven do you believe that man can read God's mind and they're going to write something that's different from what's in the Bible? And even if you think, I don't think God meant that. We read the Bible, we study the Bible, and we obey the Bible. Faith is only as good as who wrote it. Faith is not a feeling that we manufacture. It is not a feeling you feel when you're about to feel a feeling you never felt before. It is about our total response to what God has revealed in his word. Countless millions of people all over the world are worshiping someplace today. And even the name, before you even go in to hear what's being said, is not in the Bible. Jesus, God, sent his Son into the world. He purchased his family with his blood. And somebody else is just going to step up, step out, says, I think I'll start something and give it a name. And there we go. Hearing it, hearing what he has to say, believing it, receiving it, and obeying it. In chapter, in Hebrews, let's come back to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Verses 1, 2, 3. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. For by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. And he talks about a number there. A number of those who trusted and believed in God in chapter 11. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by God, by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. They didn't come into existence till God spoke them into existence. By faith, Abel, and then he goes on to name a number of individuals in that chapter. Faith, God gave witness to their faith. Faith in God is the inward conviction. Faith in God is the inward conviction of what God has said. We believe it. And we perform based upon what we can read. We don't know God well enough to know how he wants to be worshipped. That's why it's critically important for us to study the word of God. God speaks, we hear his word, we obey his word, we trust his word, we act on his word. What the consequences are, that's for God to handle. I don't deal with the consequences. Let God deal with the consequences. He's better capable of doing that. I simply hear it, believe it, receive it, and obey it. The consequences may be frightening. Maybe something you never heard of before. But we are to obey God's word just the same. Many people are in religious organizations that they can't even read the name in the Bible. And you remember, Jesus gave strict instructions to his apostles after his resurrection, when he was meet with them. He says, now I want you to go ye therefore and teach all nations, teaching them to observe whatsoever, not they, not them, not y'all, teaching them to observe whatsoever I have commanded. Very strict. And you ride down the street, you see all kind of names. Is that what Jesus ordered? All the apostles, the 12, they preach the same gospel everywhere they went. The same. Not something similar. They preach the same gospel. They established the same church. O-N-E. How many is one? Do you know how many one is? One is less than two and more than none. That's one. Faith enables us to see what others cannot see. Read it in your Bible. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. Verse 13 and verse 27. And as a result, faith enables us to do what others get angry when you tell them that it's in the Bible. If you want to go to God's heaven, why do you think you can get there obeying something that he never said? Believing something that he never had read or put in his book? People laughed at these great men, the apostles. They laughed at them. But there were those who stepped out on faith. They are trying to make decisions. You mean they? What they? Governments of different states. They are trying to make decisions regarding something that God has already established. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And you remember that God said in Genesis chapter 2, I will make man a suitable helper. You remember that, don't you? God says, I will make man a suitable helper. And guess what? God didn't make another man. So God illustrates to us that a man cannot find a suitable helper in another man. And a woman can't find another suitable helper for her. Another woman. Bible is right. No matter how many folk get upset, they don't have heaven to bless you, to send you to, or hell to keep you out of. They don't have that kind of power. Hebrews chapter 11, it is devoted to a summary of the lives and the labors. Chapter 11. It's a summary of the lives and the labors of great men and women who found joy through their faith in the Old Testament for God. In each indication, in each instance, you will find the same element of faith in those individuals. God spoke to them through His Word. They obeyed God, trusting God, and He bore witness regarding their faith. And He will do the same thing with us and for us. When we read His Word, believe His Word, receive His Word, and obey His Word, God will recognize and honor our faith in Him. And of course, He already knows who will and who won't. We read that at the very beginning. Faith is only as good as its object, as to what you believe in and what you believe of. And the object of our faith must be God. Faith is not some feeling you're going to feel before you feel another feeling that you thought you wasn't going to feel. It's not a feeling that we manufacture. It's not a feeling you feel when you're about to feel a feeling you never felt before. Faith is about our total response to what God has revealed in His holy book, the Bible. Read your Bible. Study your Bible. Obey what you can read in your Bible. Not how you feel. It's what God says. If feeling could do the job, why did He send His Son? If feeling could do the job, why did Jesus tell the apostles, don't go preaching anything until you're baptized with the Holy Spirit? Three words in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1, 2, 3, summarize what true Bible faith is. Substance, evidence, witness. And the word translated substance means literally to stand under, to support. Faith to a Christian is what a foundation is to a house. It gives confidence. It gives assurance that he or she will be able to stand. So faith is the confidence of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So then, when a believer has faith in God, it is God's way of giving him or her confidence and assurance that what is promised will be experienced. The word evidence simply means conviction. This is the inward conviction from God that what he has promised, he is able and he will perform. The presence of God-given faith in an individual's heart is conviction enough that God will keep his word. God can't lie. Not won't lie. Can't lie. Is that true with us? You don't have to answer that. And the Bible just gives us a litany of many, many people in the Old Testament who had faith in God and even died for their faith in God. Faith is being sure, certain, that what I believe I can read. These believers, chapter 11, we didn't read about them. I mean, we didn't read their names, all of them. In chapter 11, they were approved of God because of their faith. Oh, church. But believers today still live with the unseen promise of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that he's coming back again for his church. He's coming back again for his church. For his church. And that's also a challenge to our faith. Do we believe what Jesus said? Listen, if you can't read it, did you hear me say that earlier? If you can't read it, why do you receive it? Because some man that's not in here said it? I should say some woman too, because you see some women trying to preach. Whatever it takes. In God's case, it called for a perfect human being to die a terrible death. Guess who volunteered? Guess who volunteered? God so loved. Volunteered his son. Guess who volunteered? His son volunteered to obey his father's will. Jesus obeyed his father's will. God is our supreme being. You know where I'm going, don't you? Can we do less? Can we do less than the begotten Son? Can we do less than obey the begotten Son obeyed the Father? We cannot afford to do less. A perfect Son obeyed the Father. Where are you today? Where are you this morning? I'm winding up, but I'm not through. I got two more pages. But you're almost through if you're not through. So I better wrap it up. You want to make your calling and election sure. Dolores Johnson, faithful servant of God. She devoted her life, not in talking about, but in doing the will of God. Where are you? As I said earlier, there are numbers of people gathered together. And there's a preacher standing up preaching them, and says he's preaching from the Bible. And that's the problem. We need him preaching in the Bible, not from the Bible. What do you say tonight, this morning? I haven't preached that long. Where do you stand? Because we don't know when God is going to send the message regarding our lives. I don't know when God's going to call me off the scene. You don't know when God's going to call you off the scene. The thing is, be prepared. Be ready. Learn to put God first. You must understand, God refuses to take second place. What are you inferring, preacher? God comes even before your employer. Some of us have put God on the waiting list because of my job. Your company, your supervisor, won't be at the judgment to convince God that to let you in because you obeyed him instead of obeying God. Make your calling and election sure. Our Bible, as I said heretofore, God says we all have an appointment with death. But he created a beautiful, wonderful universe, did he not? For us to live in. He wants us to enjoy it, but recognize him, the giver of the universe and the creator of our lives. That proves his love. To send his son, doubly prove his life. Do you want to give your life? You want to give your life to Jesus Christ? You want to become a Bible Christian? I'll read it to you and close. In the book of Acts, if you have your Bible, in Acts chapter 2. The gospel is being preached on planet Earth for the very first time. Jesus had given, Matthew chapter 16, Jesus gave the privilege of preaching the first gospel sermon on planet Earth to the Apostle Peter. And when we come to this book, you wake up your folks next to you that sleep, waking them up. Let them know I'm winding up. In chapter 1, they're all meeting. They meet with Jesus for the very last time. Or I should say Jesus meets with them for the very last time on planet Earth. His 11 apostles, because Judas has betrayed him and he's committed suicide. But when you read chapter 1, it's the last meeting of Jesus with his apostles. And then he tells them, you all go now to Jerusalem and wait until my Father sends you the Holy Spirit. That's going to guide you into all truth and bring all of my teachings to your remembrance. And then they see him floating in the air. You know, that must have been some scene. Just to see a man. That's even mind-boggling just reading about it. And one of the angels, God had dispatched an angel because he knew how we are, curious. They told him, he's gone. He'll be back. He'll be back. Isn't that good news? He's gone, but he's coming back. So they went on to Jerusalem in your Bible in Acts chapter 1. And they went to a two-story house in Jerusalem. When they got to Jerusalem, they went into a two-story house where there were people who had believed in Jesus Christ while he was on planet Earth, was in there. And they were there for about 30 days, I believe it was, waiting for the Holy Spirit to be upon them so that they can go and preach the gospel. And while they were waiting, they chose a man to take Judas's place and to be an apostle. Last verse. There was a noise. They had finished their business of taking care of replacement. And the first verse in chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And it set upon each of them. And they began to speak with other tongues. Not, no. They began to speak with other tongues, with other languages. It gave them the power to know the Word of God, readily know, readily remember what they had been taught, and to speak in any language. Because it happened on the day in Jerusalem on a Jewish holiday. And there were Jews from all different countries in Jerusalem, thousands of people. They began to preach in different languages all at the same time. And about verse 15, if that's not the verse, you check it. It's pretty close to being the verse. Peter became the chief spokesman because Jesus had promised Peter the privilege of preaching the first gospel sermon on planet Earth. Peter became the chief spokesman. And he said, why y'all doing this? These men are not drunken as you suppose. It is just 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last day. And Peter preached from about verse 15 to verse 36. In verse 36, Peter said something in the message, and it shows that they were listening. Like some of these folk here are not listening, but they were listening. Peter said, that same Jesus that you all crucified 50 years on a cross 50 years ago, it is he who has sent this message. They were shocked. They were not only shocked, they were scared. They said to Peter, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter didn't tell them to pray and ask God to forgive them of their sins and they would become Christians. You remember that? Since you don't remember, let me keep you a little bit longer. Now when they heard this, they were pricked or shocked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, pray a prayer and ask God to forgive you of your sins. That's not in your Bible, is it? Why do preachers tell people to do that today? You just pray a prayer, or we'll just pray a prayer, and you'll be saved. Peter is speaking by the power of the Holy Spirit that just came down from heaven. Then Peter said unto them, verse 38, if you would please, answering to their question. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all those that are far off, even as the many as the Lord God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward or this wicked generation. Then they, not everybody that heard the word obeyed it, but then they that gladly received the word were still awake, heard the message, and were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. We don't have that many present. But are you in the Lord's church? Are you in the church that the apostles established on the day of Pentecost through the preaching of the Holy Spirit? The church that Jesus died for? The church that God ordained? Are you in that church? Or a church? You're going to stand at the judgment before God to be judged in a church that the Holy Spirit or His Son never said anything about, and expect God to save you. Based on what? Based on what? Jesus was very specific. You remember what he told his apostles after his resurrection? Preach whatsoever I have commanded. That's the Bible. My heart goes out to every human being. I would that every human being on planet Earth, at some day, somewhere, they will hear the gospel of Jesus Christ preached, or they will read it, understand it, and obey it. But you are here. Where are you today? Are you in the Bible? Are you in the body? Are you living faithful? Are you a good role model? Jesus told his apostles to be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the word of the Lord. That's still his mandate to those of us who are in the body of Christ. He wants you. He died for you. Don't let him down. You've heard the word. Do you believe it? Are you repentant? Sorry for the sins that you've committed? Willing to give your life to Jesus Christ? Then come forward this morning. You will be asked one question. Do you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God? That's called confession of Jesus Christ. And then if your answer is yes, you will be buried in water baptism for the forgiveness of every sin you have ever committed. And you know what will happen? God in heaven will adopt you and add you to his spiritual family, the Church of Christ. And if you live according to his will and to his word, the final roundup of human affairs, he will say to you, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. It's waiting for you. If it's your desire, you come. If you're already in the body, but you've been disloyal, unfaithful, you don't know where death is, don't play Russian roulette with your soul. Come and ask forgiveness for your sins. Rededicate your life to Jesus Christ. Right now, as we together stand and sing the song that's been selected, this is your opportunity.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood.
Power in the blood.
Would you war evil of victory when
there's wonderful power in the blood?
There is
power, wonder-working power
in the blood of the Lamb. There is
power, wonder-working power
in the precious blood of the Lamb.
And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. That's what it will be like for the righteous on that day. What doth hinder you? I'm still young. I got plenty of time. I got a few more. Wild oats. Train them so they're no longer wild oats. Get your life right with God. God paid a high price in sending his son. His son paid a high price just traveling on planet Earth and suffering cruel death, crucifixion on a cross. He did that all for human beings, us, who are going to live forever. Can we do less than what we are capable of doing, of accepting? Can we do less than accept his opportunity, his glorious privilege that cost him the death of his son and his resurrection? We'll sing one more stanza. It's your call.
You come. Would you be Brothers. Free from your passion and pride? There's power
in the blood.
Power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to come. For it's time. There's
power
in the blood. There is power.
power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Let the church say amen.
Just a word to those who are already in the body of Christ. The apostles, they've all gone into eternity. Jesus has gone back to heaven. The role, the work, the responsibility is upon our shoulders. God is trusting us to live the life, to share the word. Let us not fail his trust. Let us continue. If you are in the body, continue to be faithful and useful to God. He doesn't have any apostles to send back. He's depending on us to do that. And we're depending on him to honor our efforts to bring us home to glory and to spend an eternity with him. He's depending on us. We're depending on him. He can never fail. Let us never fail our Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.